Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I have a right mind to start the show when you just have chocolate in your mouth.
Where's my pad?
God, it's right here behind the thing. We're starting the show, y'all. This is Reality Gates. Poodle's high on chocolate. He's not even sat down. He doesn't know where the fuck
I'm
he
fine.
Is. Oh, ow. If you're watching the intimate portrait, he's got crazy eyes. He keeps eating chocolate. No more chocolate.
Turn off timey.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new. Woo. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's Reality Gates. Let's love.
He's fucking crazy today.
I want to fly blind.
Wow. Golly, I feel like I need prep for this podcast episode because I don't know
did it
where.
Send?
What send? Yeah, that. The video's got sent. Yeah, I've seen it all.
It's like my third packet of these, or more like fourth. I wonder if any boys are talking to me.
I'm going to throw your phone across the room if you pick it up.
This is Reality Gates. Season, Happily Ever After, Season 7, Episode 10, Part 2. Give me just visual sir.
God, you're just gonna black out tonight around 9 p.m. with just chocolate all over your face.
It's gonna one of two things is gonna happen. I'm gonna be soothed to sleep by chewing on a dick, or I'm gonna be so a combination of alcohol and chocolate, and one will win out. I've had so much Halloween candy today. And I don't allow myself to have it.
And did you have some last night?
Yes.
Did you sleep well or is it
no.
It was fitful?
No.
You are always
didn't
fitful
sleep
when
well
you sleep.
Last night.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes I sleep well.
You don't look it. You don't look like you're tired. You don't.
I want to scratch your eyes out.
No,
right
I
now.
Gave you a compliment.
No, I generally just want to scratch your eyes all the time.
Y'all, I'm wearing, if you're watching,
you have,
watching the
Intimate Portrait. You have one of those faces.
If you're watching the Intimate Portrait, I'm wearing our Clinique Foundation, which is our sponsor right now. That's my skin, on my skin.
I thought you looked a little womanly.
Thank you.
Look at that drinking strong.
Y'all. KKC, she's doing a live show on December 3rd.
We're just going right into announcements.
We're going to be there on December 3rd. We're going to do a little bit with her. Also, some of you are asking, I am going to reach out to them, but I've had it with Pumps and Angie Pumps and Jennifer Welch. I'm going to reach out to them, but we are going to do a collab with them. I'm going to reschedule that probably sometime in maybe November. We've got some good collabs
mid-November,
coming up
in November. Yeah. We have some collabs. We're doing So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey again. I think that might be the first time. I know I've been on his show.
We did one together, I thought.
Did we?
I feel like we
maybe
did.
Maybe a segment.
I'm worried, though, because you're in a whole new era of him. After your last conversation, and I'm worried you're going to hit on him in our show.
I can't promise that. He said really suggestive things on Twitter to me.
Ugh, I need screenshots of that for proof. I don't believe you.
Oh, it happened.
I want to see that.
And you should see the DMs.
I don't want to see that, but I do want to see the screenshots of public use. In front.
Okay.
All right. Also, y'all, Nikki Levy, Don't Tell My Mother, her podcast is actually a live theatrical show as well. I'm going to be guessing on that.
A live theatrical show?
I think she's requested we still talk about, but I think I probably will be talking about Liz Claiborne Shoes.
Yes.
That's going to be on Saturday, November 9th at Dynasty Typewriter. It's a matinee at 3 p.m. in Los Angeles.
There's a whole lineup.
Yep. Go to our Linktree. There is with people I don't know. There's a Linktree link in that our Linktree. I'm putting those links on it so y'all can go to our Linktree and buy the tickets for those shows. Kate Casey's is at the Improv here in Los Angeles.
Hollywood Improv.
Hollywood Improv. Let's be honest. We love Kate Casey, but we also agreed because it's close.
That's one of the best things about it.
When she said it's at the Improv, and I was like, oh, Jake will be there. Jake will be there.
Sold.
And the drinks are strong at the Improv.
Very. Okay. It's a comedy club. They have to be.
Y'all, we're having, we had our watch and chat today. You missed it. It was 2 days ago. Sorry.
No.
Started to bring it up.
Wait, no.
This is part two. This airs on Monday night. It was 1 day ago.
You know, our YouTube Live.
What did I say?
Watch and chat.
Oh, I meant YouTube Live. Yeah, our YouTube Live. Our watch and chat.
You're already confused. This is going to be real good.
Our watch and chat. I'm going to talk about this more probably in the second part of the after the commercial. But y'all, we're going to do a watch and chat of one of my favorite, a seminal. Is that the word?
Seminal vesicle film.
A seminal film of my gay identity is Sordid Lives, which it starts less a seminal. I just got that.
That's my life.
Hey, there was something you didn't get on the on our YouTube Live. It took
five minutes. I'm coked up on chocolate.
Golly, you were going down and getting kind of normal, and now you're just wee. Oh, that's you right now.
Yeah, I'm going to be fine.
So
I got this idea, see? Yeah.
So I'm going to be doing that watch and chat via Discord. It's going to be, you've got to be a member of our Facebook group for that. Because if you don't know how to do it, someone else in the Facebook group can explain
it to you.
Yeah. Don't Instagram message me. I don't know how. So
I'm gonna talk you through it
There'll be a post in our Facebook group about it.
Sissy Squad.
In the Sissy Squad. We have fun in there. And almost 10,000 members strong. So join the Facebook group if you haven't. And we'll put it at the end. Then it will start. Discord is its own separate app. Discord is not an app in Facebook. And you just look at your computer and say, Facebook, take me to Discord.
You're going to have a real good time with
this.
Yeah,
y'all.
I used to do these. Y'all, remember, before you reach out and you have a question.
Maybe we have a sissy who will volunteer as my
Discord
debutante.
No,
can I have a Discord debutante? I'm taking volunteers.
You're going to let them figure it out themselves.
You can volunteer. And anytime I have somebody that messaged me, I'll say, you need to contact my Discord debutante.
What?
My volunteer.
I thought you were debutante.
Yes, that's what I said.
Yeah, I thought you said P like deputy.
Oh, I like that better. Discord deputy. I like that.
That makes better sense.
And I can put a star on their chest. Ding! Anyway, we're going to watch. It's on Hulu, so we're very excited. The movie's going to start at 5:05 sharp.
Oh, you're doing sharp?
Well, 5:05 sharp. Mm-hmm. We all get together at 5, and then at 5:05, we all press play together. So don't jump in and say, I started the movie. I'm on this part. You'll be behind. You'll be ahead. You'll spoil people.
No, that's part of the fun. People say, what I missed? They're like, half the movie.
When you you're going to find out about Wardell's fake leg before the rest of us do.
Yeah, people the best thing about your chat is like, time code?
Time, yeah.
There's always some bitch. Time.
I'm gonna make my Discord deputy the one that refers to the time code. I
time!
Like that. We should have done that with you. You should have had a Discord deputy.
I didn't want to do that to anyone. Honestly.
I don't mind. We're only doing this like once. It's just a one-off. Don't expect it to happen every.
We did it when the pandemic was in full swing, when no one was leaving their house.
Now Poodle's getting dicked down on Saturday night, and let's be honest, I'm sitting alone watching a comic book movie in a theater. You know, Anyway, that's, you know, there is big news in the comic book corner this week.
Okay, tell
big
us.
Big news.
Tell us. Is it that big, or will I consider
it's Maddie's
it?
It's Comic Corner.
No, you can't take the same theme.
Well, if you never
need to rewrite, you need to come up with a theme of your own.
If you don't write a theme and perform it, so I can drop it in the
theme,
episode.
The theme has already been.
I wanted
signed
it on the piano. I wanted you to play. You never did what I wanted. I just wanted to support
you
your
just,
corner.
Okay, you can't. But you can't take my trope of it.
Well, it's a big deal that.
Okay, go ahead with your comic book
the
corner.
The movie Black Adam came out, which was a lot of people don't. I saw the movie. The movie is fine. If you're a comic book nerd, it's not a great movie because it's like they threw in everything but the kitchen sink. But David Zanuck of Discovery Warner Brothers doesn't fucking care because it was the highest grossing premiere they've had of any DC comic book movie in a long time.
Well, people love The Rock, too.
And people fucking love The Rock. And The Rock is made for the role.
Right.
And The Rock wanted the role. He's been working on this film for like 15 years. Well, the big thing that came out is at the end is Henry Cavill did a cameo as Superman.
Oh!
Which he is... Don't get me started on that. If y'all want to talk to me about how Zack Snyder killed Superman, I will gladly tell you why he did a disservice to that hero. But the turns come
to find
out. I'm
just glazing over.
That's what I do. And I just kind of say yes and act interested. Welcome to what I do. And so, but they turns come to find out. The Rock was one of the reasons why they didn't want to bring Henry Cavill back as Superman. And The Rock said, not doing it if we don't bring Henry Cavill back as Superman.
Wow.
So that is why. And so Henry Cavill was on Instagram and he even tweeted, he said, I'm excited for a joyful Superman, which people feel like is bringing back more of a Christopher Reeve era of Superman, which a lot of people are excited about.
Who will be directing it?
We don't know how Superman is coming back. There are rumors that, which I actually would like this. There are rumors that there is going to be a Trinity film. The Trinity arc is a big thing. One of the best. One of the better
Trinity the drag queen.
I wish one of the best comic book runs is it's Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, and that's a Trinity book of kind of how they are doing. But anyway, if they make a Trinity movie, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. Because there's a lot of great stories
Isn't
they can take from that.
Batman at a whole different thing,
we don't,
though?
So here's another. This is part of Comic Book Corner. It's like, what are they going to do with Ezra Miller? Because this guy is beyond, I say the word problematic. No, he's assaulted people.
Well,
like,
and he was thinking about starting his own cult in New England.
Yeah, like Ezra Miller needs to not be the Flash. But the thing is they made this movie Flashpoint, and if you don't know anything about comic book nerd stuff, but Flashpoint basically, in the 70s and 60s and 70s, the comics got so convoluted and it was so confusing. Flashpoint basically kind of rewrites history and kind of, so they're thinking that Flashpoint is what combines all the different fucking Batmans. Michael Keaton was going to be in it. Ben Affleck. Robert Pattinson. They were going to kind of like, because they're like, well, if they do a Trinity movie, what Batman are
George
they
Clooney!
George,
probably not George Clooney.
Not George Clooney. So now, though.
Probably not Val Kilmer.
Now they've made this movie and spent all this movie and it's in the can and they're in post in this movie and now they're like, how do we get rid of Ezra Miller as the Flash? Because they're not going to do what they did in Batgirl and just get rid of the movie and count it as a loss. It's too big of a loss. So we don't know, but the good news is Henry Cavill's back as Superman. I think he's a great Superman, and I'm excited under new direction. And that's Maddie's Comic Corner.
You will not take my style.
You know what? If you write a theme, if you write it on the, I wanted you to write it on the piano. I was going to do sound effects. I really wanted a good Broadway theme. I just want to support you.
I'm imagining grabbing your face and pulling it off right now. That's how coked up I am on chocolate right now. If you've ever been with someone who's done a lot of coke, there's like, I have the best idea. And y'all, whatever, if you've been with someone who's done a lot of coke, whatever they say after I have the best idea is going to be cuckoo crazy, and they're going to think it's the best idea they've ever heard.
Yeah, they are. You're like that without coke.
I know. Yeah. Let's talk about the show.
All right.
Kim and Usman.
All right. So speaking of getting coked out on Usman's just eating sugar cane.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I was eating sugar cane.
Okay, I didn't know what that was.
Felt phallic to me.
I like it. He's like, I got you this. She's like, no.
No. I don't need sugar. I just need your kisses.
Oh, so y'all, let's just revisit what happened. We had the whole situation last week with the mother and Farouk and Muhammad rejecting her as a possible wife. Definitely a first wife.
Yes.
Yeah. But they said you could be the second wife, a potential second wife.
A potential second wife. Usman is still saying, again, he starts the episode and says, the reality is, if I'm the one to stay in the relationship, I'm the one who will sacrifice the most.
Yes. He lives in his own world.
Fuck off.
He still thinks that he's the biggest star in the world.
He's also, honestly, like, he's cutish, but to me, he looks like Great Value Usher. Like, he's not that cute. I know he's got his yammy yammy, but he's not that hot.
He
acts like he's fucking Jamal.
I agree, but he knows that she thinks that he is a real prize.
Say that again.
He knows that she thinks he's a real prize.
You're so coked out. You're saying this and your eyes are just spitting.
Oh yeah, I've had so much chocolate.
Great. I'm glad you completely have just...
Again,
ruined.
I'm trying to think of ways to hurt you.
You know,
right now.
I just want to have a quality show for people.
That's not impossible. But the show's never been quality. Also,
fair.
I don't think that's ever been our checklist.
No. So Kimberly says, she's like, when I establish boundaries, she says, I kind of agree with her at this. She said, when I establish a boundary, he gets offended. Now, and I wrote, you're right. I want to say, though, her boundary's absurd.
Right.
And ridiculous. But he does. He shall say, and he agrees to them.
I agree.
So I understand her thinking. She's completely irrational and not irrational. She's completely just not reality at all.
Also, someone who's trying to create boundaries in a culture that is patriarchal.
Agree. Like, yes.
Now,
it's Kim versus Nigerian culture.
Right.
And we even see in Love is Blind, this is a big deal. Like, this is starting to come up in Love is Blind with SK and Raven.
And what I want to say is, it's okay to say, I have these... She keeps trying to use term like, I'm establishing a boundary. What she's realizing is she is not strict with her boundaries. She will adhere to them and then let them go.
Well, she lets them go. Or there's also no, she's codependent. So there's no, when
right.
Usman breaks a boundary, she gets angry, but then she completely just rolls over.
And
also, technically, this boundary is a boundary she set with her and Usman. It's Usman's mom that is moving. She
exactly.
has no boundaries with, like, she has
no there's no relationship
with her.
But I just want to say, it is a very Western thing to say, I've set a boundary into the culture you're coming into.
Yeah.
It shows an ignorance.
I want to even say more, that's a very American thing to say,
yeah.
I've set a boundary.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of Canadians that are showed up and going to Nigeria and saying, I set a boundary, eh?
Well, I think when I say Western,
I know what you mean.
I mean Western in the way that not taking into account someone else's culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
I say American because it's Kimberly is even not as bad as Baby Girl Lisa, but it's still perpetuating this idea of like, I'm an American woman. I will not be told what to, you know.
Right.
I will, and it's ridiculous.
And I'm not saying one or whichever is right. I'm saying where she is, the reality of where she is, she's not seeing reality.
No.
And saying a phrase like, I'm setting a boundary, doesn't mean shit.
It doesn't to Usman.
Because they're not speaking the same language.
It might to him, but it doesn't matter because it's not even about him.
No.
It's his family.
No.
By the way, because we talked about this on a paid show, or we talked about it maybe on Below Deck. We did not talk about it on this show. Y'all, Baby Girl Lisa came for us about an Instagram post.
She did.
Of where we were doing an impression of her, and she loved it.
this is funny. It's the funniest thing I've seen today. I need a laugh.
She did a laughing. She thought it was hilarious. And I turned to Jake and I said, did you ever think we'd live in a world where baby girl Lisa gets the joke, but Amber from Love is Blind comes for us.
Hated us and basically called us misogynists.
Yes.
Because we said something that she was still trying to pay off her Sephora
bill.
We
used her own joke. We used her own joke in her own show. God.
Yeah.
Y'all.
Humorless.
The cast of Love is Blind, though, is getting it. We were just talking. Y'all.
No, this cast gets it.
And y'all, we get a Netflix media pass, so you haven't watched yet, but I was talking about this. Did I talk about this on the first show already? Oh, the season.
Don't talk about the show.
Y'all, Love is Blind. There's not a dud episode. It's so good. It's so good. Everybody watches that show.
I want more M&Ms.
You're fucking bumped right now. Anyway, y'all, if you're not watching Love is Blind, what are they, Poodle? What was I saying?
I was listening.
You've got to be present for the show.
I am!
If you're not watching Love is Blind, you're doing it wrong, y'all.
That's what I mean.
You're doing it
wrong. That's what I said.
It's so good.
Don't you have your iPad?
I haven't had it the entire time for 3 hours now. I've been looking at the notes on my phone.
I mean today.
No, it's dead.
Oh, you need to get a new one. Let's move on. So she's basically says, do you like it when she said she texts him and says and she goes she lumbers over to him in her normal Kim walk.
She does.
And she goes, sit down, let me talk to you for a minute. Please.
Please.
Every time she realizes, it's like she hears herself a little bit, and she realizes she's an overbearing asshole.
She can be overbearing.
And she has
yeah.
to correct herself by saying, "Please, sit down. I'm going to talk to you for a second."
And Usman finally says, "He's
like, talk at you."
They're talking about. It. He's like, "Let's forget this." He said, "Let's call and let's have my brother."
The beautiful woman.
He said, "Let's have my mom show up with Mohammed. That's my older brother, who's easier to convince."
Which this
and
is a
he'll
good idea.
Convince my mom. He's like, let's do that. He's like, and then I can tell them that you're compromising too. And Kimberly's like, I have to pick my battles. And she's like, and right now the biggest battles he's faced. She said, okay. So, and she said to him, she's like, you know, yesterday I didn't get to show them the charming, wonderful person that it's Kimbo. I didn't get to show them that. I didn't get to show them that. But that means... Hopefully I can show them, but if that means that I have to leave Nigeria single, then it's what it is. And I thought,
no, that's not, it's not, it is what it is.
I thought, that's a weird way to look at that. If I was in this situation, I would say, and if that means I have to leave Nigeria, and I would think if I have to let go of the person I love, it would be about losing them.
Well,
but I just want to kind of, she said being single, so it's about her.
She's halfway through bargaining
and what people think
and
about
retaining
her.
Some sense of her own ego.
Yeah.
That's the problem. She has these moments of clarity where you can see right through her.
Yeah.
And
yeah, she is, I will say, I'm not loving all of it, but she is wonderful television and she's fascinating to watch. I love watching her on Hay.
She is cripplingly self-unaware.
She and it's cripplingly, the best reality TV.
Cripplingly, yeah. I'm a little
wow. You're sugared and a little drunk because that vodka was
cripplingly.
Strong. Wow, can you be a professional? Can you be a professional?
I am performing right now, and hopefully, I'll perform later.
Oh, I just need to get this done, y'all. Jesus. All right. In the words of Celine Dion, it's a new day, everybody.
We are their
day.
They're meeting Mom and Muhammad, and y'all, she's kind of spiraling on the way there. You know what? Good. I think it's time for another installment.
We didn't plan this. Apparently, you're on a sugar high.
Reality gays theater.
Well, I hope.
This is going to be all yours, basically.
Great.
So. Do it. I have faith in you.
No, you don't.
That may be true as well. But
wow.
If you fail, you'll fail spectacularly.
You didn't say that word correctly. You can't talk.
Spectacularly. Spectacularly.
No
so
more
they're in
sugar.
The car. I'll be playing the role of Usman. You'll be playing...
He's eating 10 bags of M&M's, y'all!
You'll be playing the role of Kimbali.
All right.
And they're talking about... they're talking about what they're going to do when they meet Muhammad and Mommy.
Yes. All right. So. And... action.
All right. If you just listen to me,
okay. If you tell me what to do,
it's going
to
be fine.
Here, what you do? All right. Tell me what to. All right. Hold my hand.
What?
Please. Hold my hand. Okay. Thank you. You're holding my hand wrong. No, you don't hold it right like that. Hold it again.
Can you say it nicer?
Thank you. Please. Hold my hand. Thank you. Okay. Let's sit down.
So remember,
where's your mom gonna sit?
Don't talk.
Where's your mom gonna sit?
Don't talk until someone else talks.
Okay. Put it on me. Put this on me.
Okay.
Please.
We can put it on your body this time.
Okay.
Because you're covering up everything.
What?
It's okay.
What?
You're covering up everything.
You're not gonna put over my
no,
hair.
No, I'm not going
put
to
put over my hair.
No, we're, this, wait, you look great. You look great.
What? I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You look beautiful.
Oh, I look. Stop. Stop. Are you telling me I look pretty? Are you telling me I look desirable? Okay.
So just show them who you are.
It's going to be you and Muhammad's coming, right? Muhammad.
Only Muhammad.
Muhammad, okay. As long as Muhammad is here, I'm okay. I have gotten from strict authority
that it's only going to be Mom and Muhammad.
Okay, because I'm feeling very anxious right now.
Can we pray together?
Okay, you know what? Okay, let's pray.
Father, help us as we go through this today. Mm-hmm. Help. Kimbali to make a good impression on Mama.
And that bless your mother. Don't do it.
Yeah, and bless
that.
My mom.
Please.
Bless my mother.
Okay.
Bless me as I go through this as a superstar of Africa.
Oh, yeah, superstar. Hopefully I can be your potential fourth wife. And amen. Amen.
And
now look, I know what we can do.
Yeah.
We need good energy. We need good energy. And you know what works? Super Blossom Body Spray from Kimbali. If you get your Super Blossom Body Spray, we put just 3 sprays, and it cleanses your energy with jasmine, cedar, vanilla. You'll go from potential to first wifey.
Wow, that smells like the inside of a Nigeria cat house.
That smells good.
Wow.
It's going to be fine. Okay, here they come. I'm ready.
Oh, here comes Farouk.
Whoa. I did not expect this.
And scene.
Her face when Farouk showed up. It was, oh.
This whole segment here was watching her spiral and watching what's interesting is he can calm her down.
He can.
And I think there are very few people in her life who can do that. Probably her son.
Jamal.
Her mother. And because I guarantee you, I don't think
her mom calmed her down.
No,
her mom got out.
She's one of these people in a life that is just ruled by anxiety.
Well,
I can't even imagine.
That makes another great reality star in that Darcy is ruled by anxiety. So is Stacey, but they manifest it in different ways. I just was in a store and I didn't realize the number 1111 is a manifesting number. I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
And so I was in a store
House 11.
In Laguna Beach. And it was like crystals and all that. And there was all this
1111
stuff. And it was like that manifest.
That's the most Los Angeles thing, California.
Y'all, I'm a manifesting
store.
I'm getting so woo woo. I had a tarot reading and everything. It was great.
So, y'all, Farouk does walk in. And she's about to shit her pants.
Yeah.
Usman needs to go to battle for me.
Surprised to see you here today.
Dear God, please let everything okay.
Surprised to see you here today.
Mom is already side-eyeing.
Yeah. Boy, her stink eye is in effect.
And she says, Kimberly says, last time didn't go good. Didn't go good. And she said that to them. She's like, last time we were here, it didn't really go well. You didn't see me. She's like, I love him. I truly love him.
Yeah.
And she said, and this was the smartest thing she did. She said, started talking about her family. And she said, Usman, show me pictures of my family because they don't know if she's fucking racist.
And it just took that, not even, I think the racist part is definitely there. If it's a white woman who's going to kind of almost feel like she's owning her son like they felt last time.
And but because BGL
gave off well, those vibes.
And this lets her know the fact that she has a son who either looks or identifies as black means that she knows she has some kind of context.
She has a
to deal with.
Like if Usman's children come over to see her father, she knows what it's like to have a black child.
Yeah, she understands the context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was... In a
way, they said Jamal. They said he's our type.
That actually, like, it. And I don't know if it warmed.
It was
my
kind
heart,
of sweet,
but it was moving to see, and it was really, and it was strategic as hell and smart.
Oh, yeah,
for
yeah.
Kimberly to show
and
them
she
that.
Said, and this is when I was in the military, and the man for the brother Farouk, who had they had both been in the military apparently, was spent has been in the military. Farouk, they're like, you've been in the military.
So she talks about being in the army.
As soon as they see that, she was in there in the army for 9 years.
Yeah. Yeah. She went to Desert Storm, I think, right?
I'm just imagining Kimbali being in your platoon.
That's why she's so
you guys.
This woman's a walking contradiction in that she's done really great things, like almost feeling empowering things, but yet she has no self confidence in
you guys,
herself.
Do you think Kuwait is really hot?
Wow. Well, it is humid here. They did not expect that.
No, but...
You guys, you want to go to the Green Thumb tonight?
Oh, my God.
We need to not get in that. We thank her for her son.
I know, but it's just imagining Kimberly being in a platoon.
I know.
So she does see, Farouk says, gradually I'm understanding you, and I see you as one of us. And
I think Kimberly did the same job that Farouk did in the army. She did the same job as well. And so that's where he said, like, when someone's in the, this is a, like a, their family that you just automatically have.
Now, you should know that Mama Usman is not done.
Oh, no. She's like, this is great. And Kimberly's going, this is going good. This is going good. And she says, but marrying a young girl is still good.
I have a friend who has a daughter. You need to visit her while you are here.
We have a girl at home who is a paternal cousin.
That's it, a paternal cousin.
Not only a younger girl, a cousin at home. And Usman's face just went,
well played, mommy.
And he tells Kimberly, and Kimberly goes,
I can't do that.
And then she says, this is something interesting. She's like, I think she's doing this to test me, to see if I'll let him go.
Yes.
Which, boy, that's a thought of desperation.
And it is. It is.
Yeah.
But it's also what she needs to hang on to this.
Yeah.
Because then that's not about her. It's about she's testing her love for him, not her as an older woman or as American or whatever.
And then there's this moment where he says, I think you need to see her while you're here. And she's like, so maybe we go see that. And she's like, no, I don't really think that you should not see this woman while we're here.
She's like, not while I'm
here.
And
I went, please go see this woman while we're here. Please.
And I'm like, the deal is, Kimberly's playing this all wrong.
No.
Keep your enemies closer.
Terrible.
You should say, yes, let's go meet that woman while I'm here.
She is the most ridiculously reactive person.
Reactive, that's a great word for it.
I can't imagine dealing with this person in real life.
It would be like dealing with you on a sugar high. Very
Okay. I'm about to bite you.
All right. I'm going to go let you just gnaw on a piece of wood, and we're going to go to a commercial break.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cool.
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting.
coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
He just poured another bag of M&M's in his mouth, y'all, because at this point, the addict's up going, and I need him to finish strong and do this show.
So I'm fine!
So I had to sugar him up again. It's like I'm working with fucking Judy Garland over here in London. And now you're fanning yourself. It's not hot in here. It's not hot at all, Poodle.
We're both talented.
I think she's more.
I just said we're both talented. I didn't say one was more talented than the other.
You know what, though? You're pretty talented, though. I'll give you that.
Oh!
No, I mean, like...
I'm going to cry.
You're pretty
talented. Emotionally...
You don't have the voice, Judy Garland, but who does? One in a million people have that voice.
I would never pretend to have the... Say
but you have just as much musicality.
I'm going to cry.
I would say
Thank
that.
Thank you.
But it's tempered by... You're a bitch. She
All
was
right,
nicer.
Do your segment, you bitch.
All right, y'all, if you're watching the Intimate Portrait, you're seeing that I'm wearing my Love Light Leslie shirt, my Leslie Jordan shirt. As you know, if you don't remember Leslie Jordan, he...
Where have you been?
I feel like, y'all, he's just us. Well, he's me when I'm 60. I mean, he's so our brand.
He was just such a comedic... He didn't even feel... This is weird to say. He didn't even feel human sometimes. He felt like a different kind of person. Or a different type of, like, race. Like an elf.
Yeah, because he was very short. And I'm, when yeah. we say short, y'all.
Well, he used to come into the bookstore. Did I ever tell you?
Yeah, you did tell me that.
He used to come in all the time because he lived down the street. And Stephen, you met Stephen, who you used to work with. Dark personality for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah, yeah.
But they used to go to the same AA meetings.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he was very upfront about his time in recovery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was.
And... He would
but
say,
you always had a pleasant experience in this store, right?
Oh, it was lovely. So lovely. But he would say, Stephen would say, he would tell stories that, because in his voice, they would say like the saddest types of like alcohol-induced stories. But he's like, but even in his voice, they sounded so funny.
And then that guy put a butt plug up my butt and fed me alcohol.
And then I decided I was never going to drink again.
And he died.
anyway, but he was nothing but lovely.
Yeah, I think you never worked with him on anything, right? No, I don't. Because he was kind of like a West Hollywood staple. Like
he was.
He moved out to L.A. at a very young age.
I did. He did a benefit at Celebration that I worked in. He was
which is a gay and lesbian,
lovely.
Which is a theater designated for LGBTQ yep. queer works.
He could never hide being gay when he moved out here.
Same. Same. And
but I don't know. I butchered up pretty good.
And I have a lot of respect for him true. Because he got good roles, but he played a lot of just like the what – it doesn't happen as much, but what a lot of queer people got is just the token gay.
Yeah.
And that's the work he got, and that's
the
work
bitchy,
he took.
Because he was very short, mm-hmm. very bitchy gay assistant – or
which ironically he did bitchy okay, but he was so not bitchy.
Right.
It wasn't
oh,
as funny
not at all.
As when he so yeah, and I was first introduced to him. A lot of you saw him on Will and Grace, which mm-hmm. Karen Walker and if
that
you,
was his star making.
That was his star making. If you haven't looked, oh. every single cast member has a funny Sean Hayes, Megan Mullally.
Megan Mullally's post McCormick, made me cry.
It was a very sweet post that she did. Cheyenne Jackson, he's on that show Call Me Cat.
Yep.
He had a good post, and honestly. I don't talk about this but basically the casting director of Modern Family is on Call Me Cat. I've been called into that show now like 6 times to audition for different. So I always get excited. Like twice it was a scene with Leslie in it. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the only reason I wanted the role was just to actually meet him and like get to work with him. And so, cause it'd be a little hard to look at Swoozie Kurtz right now because golly, she had bad work.
just bad work.
Yeah, I know.
It's bad work. And, but I would still love to meet her. But anyway, but what reason why we're going to do a watch chat, we're going to do about this movie, Sordid Lives. I won't talk too long about it. But basically, Sordid Lives was a big deal in that. It's a big deal for gay people, I think, in the South.
Del right? Shore's work in general.
Well, that's true. Southern Baptist Sissies.
Southern Baptist Sissies was the first.
Yeah, that's a play. He was a playwright. Yeah, he's a playwright.
He is a playwright. And it examined not just
gay, from Texas.
Gay life, but how growing up gay in Texas / the South, how it felt like a fabled existence.
Yeah.
And so much resembled a lot of our family and a lot of our family's response to life and dealing with generational trauma.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think taking that in, that's what I always took from that work. I saw Southern Baptist Sissies at Celebration Theater. Do you ever read that play? You need to.
I wanted to go and I never went.
He was in that too.
Yeah, he was. Because mm-hmm. he was in the play and then of Sordid Lives and then he was in the movie.
But yeah.
Did you see Sordid Lives when you were in Dallas or
never
when
did.
It came out? So I was a junior at North Texas and there was like, I mean, you were there but there weren't, oddly enough, a lot of queer people that were out when we were in college. Like, I was outed when I went to a summer festival, and I told one person, a gay guy, I was gay, and he ended up telling everybody in this little summer festival thing in Colorado. And so I woke up, and everybody knew I was gay. And so...
the moral of the story is, don't tell a string player.
Exactly. He was a violist. Fucking violist. Just a bitch. bitch. And so... But I felt very, I had friends, but I felt very alone in college as far as a queer person, because the only gay people I knew at the time, I didn't have a lot of confidence. The only gay people I knew at the time, either there was one guy who was like, he was a guy from like Brownsville.
Yeah. You should say this was early 2000s.
This was 1999, 2000.
Early 2000s.
At 2000, I think.
Yeah.
This was 2000 because I grew up 2001. And, because think about it, Will and Grace just came out 3 years before.
Right.
And I'm still in college where people back in the day,
North Texas.
Yes. And people, even though it's a huge music school, so you think a lot of progressive, but a lot of people that were from Texas, and so they would say, did you ever get, are you a Will or a Jack?
Oh, yes.
We would get that, people putting us in these binaries.
I'm a Grace.
you're a Karen.
I'm a Karen, actually.
You're a Karen. You're a Karen. So anyway, that's a little bit of the context, but so I didn't really fit in, and I was doing opera, and I really didn't love the opera department. I was having trouble with the voice teacher. I had a very homophobic voice teacher. Like when I did come out, like we had this thing called departmental where you had to sing in front of the entire voice faculty. And he made me sing that Roger Quilter song, Blow, Blow, Ye Winter Wind. And he snickered the entire time because it was like a blowjob. Like I had to sing this in front of like 1,000 people. And just real, and nobody at the time, because other people didn't know how to react, but no one even said like, I think one person, Sissy Alyssa, who's still a good friend, said, like, that's fucking shitty. I'm so sorry. But nobody else really acknowledged that. So I just kind of had to, like, grin and bear it. And then I decided to switch my major to musical theater because they did a musical theater program. And so I got in the costume department with Barbara Cox, who you know, epic. That woman was...
Yeah, this is a woman who wore kitty sweaters and before it was even in.
Ooh. She had so many cats. But she, but in that, I met this man. His name was Daryl Clement.
Oh, yes.
Did you know Daryl?
Yes.
You did?
In the theater department. He was still there
when
I was there.
Oh, he was. Mm-hmm. So now he's a band instructor, I believe. He was originally from New Orleans.
Yeah.
But he was like the first time in my life I had a gay figure who was older, who had lived just a long life of being out, who started in.
I did a show with him.
Oh, what did y'all do?
Mattress, I believe.
Did he do the costumes for that?
Yes.
He thought he was going into costuming, but then actually he went in and was like a band instructor.
No, he was helping Barbara.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And because he was really good at costuming, and that's where we became friends. And it was the first time, like,
Because you and I weren't friends at North Texas. We met afterwards at camp.
I was undergrad.
You were grad school.
And I came about 3 years after you were there.
No, you were there when I was there.
No, I'm saying, I shouldn't say that. 3 years after you went to school.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I think you were still doing mainly stuff. We both kind of did the same thing where we were doing a lot of stuff in the classical music.
Yeah, I was
doing
much
more. And then we realized that
was
bullshit. Yeah. And we did stuff more with the theater because it was fun.
Well, the theater department paid me.
Yeah, and they were fun. It was more fun.
It was the money, though.
But you got into theater after I was gone.
Yes.
And so graduated. But Daryl, like, he had a partner at the time, and, like, he would invite me to their house for dinner. And it was just – and he was, like, the first gay person that ever talked to me, like, about Mama's Family and watching that show. So just, like, a shared history or herstory with someone.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway – he lived in...
I had a couple other people who were earlier in my life who were similar to that, but I can understand how that
I didn't have anybody. And then later I had my boss, Stan. But he lived in Highland Village, which is like by Cedar Springs, one of like the rich gay areas
this
of Dallas.
So you actually looked and say, oh, a gay person can have a life and they can be happy and they can be successful.
Yeah. And not go to hell and all this shit. And so... anyway, he said, girl, there's this movie I've seen. He said, you have got to go see this movie because this is your life. And I went, really? So the first time I saw Sordid Lives was in the Highland, that little Highland Theater, movie theater. And it was just a room full of gay men and lesbians, basically the entire audience. And it was packed. And I'm not going to go into the movie. That's for the watch and chat. Yeah. I'll talk about that. But I saw this movie, and in the movie, the premise of the movie is a guy who lives in L.A., who's an actor, and he moves back home because his grandma...
He doesn't move. He visits for
the
funeral.
Or he visits back home because his grandma, Peggy, is killed because she was having an affair with this man, G.W. Nethercott, and she tripped over one of his leg. He's an amputee leg of... He had his legs amputated.
He's an amputee.
So he's an amputee. Thank you. She trips over one of his legs at a seedy motel and hits her head on the sink and dies.
Yeah.
That's not a spoiler. That's how the movie opens.
It's dark humor.
So he moves back, and it's all about him dealing with his family that don't know he's out. And my family didn't know I was out
the
either.
The mom does.
Well, she doesn't accept it.
Right.
The parts that
the family know, but they don't really talk about
it. It's like there's a couple of them that don't talk about it. So, and Leslie Jordan plays his gay uncle who came out, but this happened, y'all. I knew people, distant people this happened to in Oklahoma and in North Texas. He came out like earlier, like in the 50s, and was sent to a mental institution. Mm-hmm. And that's where he still was. And y'all think that didn't happen. It fucking did. And like you talked about, generational trauma. So that's the premise of the movie. But I saw this movie, and people were watching me watch the movie because I was having such like a visceral reaction to it.
You never stopped talking about it.
I laughed and laughed and laughed. And then after the movie ended, it was the weirdest thing. It was the only time in my life I laughed and cried at the same time because suddenly I went, oh, there's an, like watching Leslie, but also that family as a queer person, but also as an actor wanting to be an actor. I went, that's the type of actor I want to be.
Yeah.
So it's always the biggest compliment when people say to me, you remind me of Leslie Jordan or something, because he's always kind of like been a mentor to me, even though I didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my Leslie Jordan story. Do you need more sugar? Are you going down?
I'm fine.
Okay. Anyway, if you don't know him.
How dare you?
Follow him on Instagram. That's where he also became really famous on Instagram.
Yeah, during the pandemic.
And TikTok and you hunker downers. So we're very sad he
passed
away.
How y'all doing?
But there is something.
What you doing?
I will say, what a beautiful thing for someone who, we know what it's like to like be at something for years and years and years and finally has, I don't want to die right now, but I thought, if something happened to me, how great would it be to at least know I went out when I was on a high in my life and touching people, and I finally got to what I wanted.
And I think that's what he always wanted. He had that light where he was, you could tell, because there's sometimes you meet people who, we meet people in the industry And either they're doing it to be a storyteller. They enjoy what they're doing, but at the end of the day, they go home, they put it a shelf, they put it on the shelf and say no. Leslie Jordan was, that was him.
That was him.
What you were seeing was him.
Yeah.
And he wanted to make people laugh. He wanted to make people happy.
Yeah.
And you could just tell every time you met him.
Yeah.
Very open person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So
rest in power.
Rest in power, Leslie Jordan.
As I said on Twitter, he was short in stature and just, but endlessly tall in joy, like just joy. Anyway,
all right. I'll still never forget the line, Karen Walker, I knew I smelled gin and regret.
That's why you're Karen.
Ah! Anyway.
That's my perfume. Poodle's perfumes, gin and regret.
If you didn't hate fragrances and it would give you a headache to test them, that's a good idea.
It would give me a headache. I don't like cologne unless it's rubbed off from me in a sexual encounter.
Boop.
Someone, I did sleep with a guy and
oh no.
I can't believe I'm telling this story. We just had a beautiful moment. And I said, I got to know, what's your cologne that I smell on me? And he gave me the name of his cologne. I said, I actually like it. I don't like any cologne.
Did you buy it?
No. I was just cementing the fact. I don't know. I barely listened after that.
Was that just your way to getting back to come over and fuck you?
So Angela and Michael...
Golly, you're transparent as wax paper.
I did say I don't mind this cologne.
Well, good.
I'll tell you exactly what it was.
All right, I'm going to talk about Angela
Michael.
He's
under my phone under guy I fucked last Tuesday.
There you go.
You don't ever write down their names.
You don't.
Y'all, this is what I'm saying about, this is what I said before. Angela wakes up and I went, she's got fuck me hair. Her hair is everywhere.
Oh, I just thought this was a wig that was laying in the bed, like a really desiccated blonde wig. I thought someone just left a dirty blonde wig in the bed.
Wow.
That's what it looked like.
Wow.
Like someone had like murdered someone and the blonde wig was all that was left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she wakes up. And she calls Renee, and sure enough, Michael's there. And I wrote
Santal Lalabo.
Lalabo.
Yeah.
It's Santal. Is that what you're going to say?
He's from Canada. Lalabo.
Lalabo.
And the version he uses is called Santal number
33. Oh, Santal. I feel like I've heard of that. Lalabo.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. If you want to fuck Poodle at a live show, that's what you need to wear.
Wow. I didn't hate it, and I hate most cologne, y'all. I bristle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm finding a new one right now. I'm in a self
My daddy
journey,
prefers so, me not to wear anything.
Yeah, I gotta find a new cologne. I'm in a journey.
I don't let you wear it.
Well, I wear it though all the time when I'm not around you. No. I do, but you don't like it, so I don't mind it. I just don't wear it when I'm around you. You're allergic to it. Why would I wear it around you?
It makes my throat close up.
Yeah, that's why I don't mind.
His didn't bother me.
Well, I don't want to wear the cologne of somebody that dicked you down.
Natural, no, that won't be an issue.
Yeah.
Natural cologne doesn't bother me. But otherwise it makes my throat swell up. Angela and Michael, I just want to say, y'all, things were moving. We as of last week, we were 9 episodes into a season where we were coming to loggerheads with this couple. And I thought, okay, this is not going to, maybe this is the film crew is there as more of a documentary crew that they're going to show. They're showing us the really ugly side of Angela's almost obsession with making Michael only hers and no one else's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is a kind of a cautionary tale for people to see how people can get super abusive like this.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she slept with him, which we wake up with that, I'm like, nope, it's the same old toxic Will they or won't they? We're on again, off again. They're both participants in this.
They are. And I actually thought in my head, what if the genders were reversed?
Yep.
Would I think differently? Because obviously I think we're more, hopefully, we don't want to see women taken advantage of. But we do see that.
Mm-hmm.
We see it with Ed and Liz.
Mm-hmm.
And we...
Boy, I flip forward through everything, but this season is so hard to watch.
So I just want to say this. A lot of people come for... I'm not defending Angela. She's
no,
abusive.
We've stopped doing that.
But she is abusive. But Michael's not a victim in this at this point. Like, he knows what he's agreeing to. And not even agreeing. Like I said before... He's becoming savvy. He wants to make money from this.
What happens is we see him lie to her so he'll sleep. Now, y'all, I'm not above telling a white lie, as Michael says, a lie of love so that you can sleep with someone.
A lie of love. But I think I realized I'm watching this. I went, he's been playing dumb, I think, all along.
100%.
I think he is way smart. He just knows I need to play this kind of bumbling character.
Well,
I'm not coming for him.
I totally agree. I don't want to be that person who says, well, obviously all this is fake because of this. But what's happening here is you can see how it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, I don't actually think it's fake.
No.
I think this is just how their relationship is, and they both are active participants in it. That's what I think.
Yeah.
And so
Is it appetizing? Is it gross? Yes.
Yes. Is it still have moments that feel really abusive?
Yes.
Very much so. But
the all day fucked.
They
last night.
They fucked. She's happy. But
for one moment.
For one
she's
moment.
She's only fucked. She's only happy when she's freshly fucked. Why does that sound familiar?
Exactly. Exactly. But later
I'm only happy when I'm fucked.
Yeah. That's the truth. Sing that. So later on they leave the hotel and he tells her, like, he's like, you know, basically said, you know, I'm not going to take it down. Cause he said, I just did that.
You
to put
lied
her in the
to me to get my pants.
Cause he tells her, he's like, Angela, he said he wants them to have a double income. Now it actually is not her anger or sometimes physical that scares me. What grosses me out about Angela is that she doesn't understand that he wants to make a second income and make his own money, and she wants to control him with money. That actually what is the most insidious thing to me, period. It's so fucking gross.
You
could argue that Jenny is wanting to do the same thing to Smit.
Yep. I want to bring up one last thing when Michael said, guess who got lucky last night? And you know he wants to say this guy, but he messes it up and says, myself.
Myself. Yeah, there was a, and he said Angela's sexy now, and she said, Michael, you're getting a boner on camera.
You can see my coochie now.
Yeah, she literally said, when we fuck, you can see my coochie now. And I went, I don't ever want to see that image.
And he said, you can't bite my boobies. They're going to pop if you pop off the plastic because they fake.
He
basically says, I don't mean to take down my Instagram because I want us to have a double income. And for her, it's never going to be enough that – because it really is – there's some trauma she's reenacting from her past. And we can still – she's still culpable for it. But she doesn't – the trust isn't there. And so she can't let him work for that reason.
No.
It's horrible.
Yep.
But she says, this was your masterpiece. Lying to me like this. Because you got my pants.
Yeah.
Actions speak bigger than words.
She said, a lie of love.
A lie of love.
And so they start yelling. She's, again, here we go again. He sees Renee, and because Michael packs up his stuff, he's going to leave. And
Renee's just carrying around a martini at that hotel.
Wouldn't you?
She's living the best
wouldn't
life.
You?
I would.
And she says, don't do this. She said, and Renee actually says, I see wrong in him, and I see wrong in her.
They don't communicate.
And she said, they need to learn how to
communicate.
And she even says, she doesn't have control, and it's driving her crazy. Like, Renee knows what this
no,
is all
about.
No,
she's down it.
So she said, let's cool down. And Michael says, I don't know. And he ends up going with her.
Well, what's interesting is the last thing Michael says is, I'm putting my foot down. Angela will have to be okay with my social media. We'll have to be okay with his compromise. So who knows?
If he wants his social media for
social media
to do Instagram and make money, couldn't Angela just check it?
Well,
couldn't Angela just have the login?
That would solve a lot of problems, wouldn't it? Well, my thing with this is,
I don't think she should, but if you want that,
could the social media, could it be done in a way that's more of a professional social media?
Yeah.
That's less of Michael doing dances.
No, that's what he wants to make money from.
Yeah, that's the...
I when Angela says he's clueless on how to make money from this, I agree.
Me too. You know, if you've seen Michael's Instagram...
Well, now it's private and there's only like 4 posts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so 100% agree. That so there's nothing that I really want to follow in his Instagram.
No.
And you yawned. Y'all, it's a good thing we're about to end. Y'all, that's the show. So, y'all, we'll see you.
I need more M&Ms.
Get in the Facebook group and see the post about the watch and chat this Saturday.
It's still light outside.
At 5 p.m. Pacific time. Also, get your tickets for Kate Casey and Nikki Levy. And if you are in the Los Angeles tonight around 9 o'clock and you just hear, beware, because someone is out prowling. Piano cat is prowling.
If you respect your own safety, I'd get indoors.
Yeah. And then it's like that movie I said, this is a town that dreaded sundown now. Wow, that went dark.
You're going to come with bite marks on your neck.
All right, everybody. That's the show. She's having a COVID
I'm
fit
fine.
Now. Because your reflux is kicking up because all that... You're a fucking hot mess. We're going to go. Y'all, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes.
Oh, my... Y'all.
No, I got it. Yes. And...
Riveting.
If you need to tell someone, sit down.
Please.
If you forget to say please after when you give someone an order,
then you can call us.
You can call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.